Hello, and welcome to the second in our series of podcasts on mentoring, sponsored by the Student Advisory Council of RIMS. My name is Debbie Rogers. I'm the Vice President of Global Risk Management at Aramark Corporation, and I also serve as Vice Chair of the Student Advisory Council. I'll be the moderator for today's podcast. In our first podcast, we highlighted the benefits of establishing a mentoring relationship, both for the students and for the mentors. Today, we'll build upon that first podcast with a discussion about the selection process for mentors and students. I have two panelists joining me today to share their knowledge and perspectives on this topic. Our first panelist is Hal Larson. Hal's the Vice President and Risk Manager for Muscatine Foods Corporation, a holding company located in Muscatine, Iowa. Hal's very active in RIMS, both as Vice Chair of the Member and Chapter Services Committee and as a member of the Student Advisory Council, which is sponsoring this podcast series. Hal helped start a formal industry mentoring program at the University of Iowa. That program, now in its second full year of operation, has involved 18 students and 16 mentors over the period. As you'll hear, Hal is really passionate about the value of mentoring because he feels this is an excellent way to help students in their career selection and also a great way for mentors to give back to the system. Our second panelist is Vianna Rockel, who is the Associate Director of the Emmett J. Vaughn Institute of Risk Management and Insurance at the University of Iowa. In her role at the university, Vianna runs all of the student support programs for the Institute's Risk Management Insurance Program, and that includes both the academic advising and as well as industry relations. Vianna holds a master's degree in educational policy and leadership and has been both an administrator and a fundraiser in the higher education space for about 25 years. Like Hal, you're going to hear a very passionate person in Vianna. If you've had a mentor in your life, you really understand the value of these relationships. And Vianna told me she was fortunate to have two important mentors in her life, both of whom significantly influenced her career development. She became familiar with the mentoring process as a graduate assistant for a community college leadership development program, but more recently, working with Gamma Iota Sigma and the Greater Quad Cities RIMS chapter, she and the Vaughn Institute developed a robust mentoring program of which Hal is an active part. Today, they're going to share with us their insights into the process for entering into a mentoring relationship with a focus on the selection process, both of students and mentors. So, Hal and Vianna, I welcome you, and thank you so much for participating in our podcast today. I look forward to gaining insight into the process you've undertaken to establish a successful program at the University of Iowa. So, let's sort of set the stage for this with some general questions. Let's start with you, Hal. I understand that the idea for a mentoring partnership with the university came about at a RIMS conference. Would you share with us how you got the process started?
Thank you, Debbie. There was a lot of different things going on in mentoring and student activities in the Vaughn Institute, in raising funds and working with the insurance industry and the brokerage world. And in that process, as I looked at it, I said, there's an element missing here. We need to help the students connect with the professional world of risk management and insurance management. And so I spent some time talking with Vianna and with the institute personnel to figure out how we could start to build a program to help the students get an exposure to the industry and connect students with mentors in the process. So it truly was just kind of a thought process that popped up one day, and we sat down and talked about it and figured out how we could make it work and move forward from there.
And was it a core group? Did you have a steering committee? How did you sort of get it underway?
Well, principally was Vianna and I initially to start with, and then in the subsequent latter parts of the program, in the second year, we involved Gamma Iota Sigma, and they had, I believe, a vice president of mentoring from their chapter assigned to participate with us. So the three of us basically formed the steering committee.
Okay, great. So Vianna, let me ask you a question. So when you were establishing your program at the University of Iowa, what expectations did you establish for the student body?
We let them know that this was a way to connect with risk managers. We really did believe in what Hal said, that risk managers, our students weren't connecting as closely with the risk management area as they were with the insurance industry. And so we let them know that that was one thing that they could expect from the program. Then we wanted them to know that this was going to be a professional development program, not an internship or a job placement program. We didn't want them to come in thinking that their mentor was going to pass their resume around and find them a job. But we wanted them to know that this was there to help them with college and work-life transition and to help them build a professional network. We also saw it kind of quietly without speaking to the students as a way to help them build their self-confidence and communicating skills with professionals and employers. And we hope that they would learn an ease with taking initiative and following through with a professional in the industry.
So there were clearly some great reasons for the students to get involved. And what about on the mentor side? You know, what kind of expectations did you establish for that group?
They were much the same as the students. We wanted them to know that this was a networking opportunity for the students and not necessarily a recruiting opportunity for them. But we wanted them to know that they were expected to share their knowledge and wisdom, to provide realistic views of the industry and maybe some career advice. I know that risk managers don't become risk managers right out of school, and we wanted them to get some help discovering what a career path might look like for a risk manager. We wanted the risk managers to challenge the students to think about new ideas, take risks, maybe meet some new challenges, and then to provide some personal advice and guidance on career searches.
Okay, great. If we're looking at sort of the student body that we might select, how did you establish any eligibility requirements for the students to get into the program?
Debbie, we basically utilize the Institute's program. They have an existing program at the University of Iowa in the Institute called a Certificate of Risk Management and Insurance. That program is open and eligible to juniors and seniors in their last 2 years of college where they're a bit more focused. They've kind of got a career path and an objective. So we focused around that. At the same time, then, we tried to look at the students and understand from them through application processes and essays and just general discussion and through the knowledge of interaction between GIS students to students and Vianna to the students who really had a focus at interest in risk and or insurance management issues and recognized that that may not be risk management, that may be brokerage as an opening door entry opportunity. So that was, from the university standpoint, kind of our focus, and I think each school, each organization, and or each mentoring program needs to take a look and determine where they think their focus group of students are and how they work with them, and then start selecting from within that core group.
Okay, so just to help me understand, are all the students that are in the program in studies of risk and insurance? I mean, could they be in any other fields of study?
I can respond to that, Debbie. Yes, they are all in the risk management and insurance program. We have about 70 students to 80 students every year going through the program. So they may be in different stages of that program. I know one student we had this year had not begun classes yet, but she was very motivated and wanted to discover more about the profession. But yes, they all, one of our requirements is that they are taking or will have taken some of the classes.
Okay. So, Vianna, then, so we've narrowed the field to it's got to be in the Risk and Insurance Studies program. Does everybody who applies get assigned a mentor?
You know, to date we have given a mentor to all of the students. We get to know the students and the mentors very well and can make some good matches. I have to add, however, that not all mentors get a student. We have mentors who apply, but if their background doesn't fit the pool, someone in the pool of students that we have, we will carry their application over to the next year until we have a different pool of students. So every student so to date has gotten a mentor, but not every mentor has had a student.
And this was the first year, I might add, that we actually had to take a strong and hard look at that. We had one student that we had some questions as to whether they were really correct or really ready for the mentoring program, and we struggled with it a bit and finally did accept the student into the program. So that really takes a conscious look at it and assessment of the situation, because you want to make sure it's a positive environment
for both parties. So even though you've accepted everybody in at this juncture, there clearly are some criteria that you're looking at beyond just the studies and, you know, the year. So are there sort of personality characteristics? I mean, can you elaborate a little bit on what those issues are that you're, it sounds like you're interviewing the students, so what are the issues that you're really trying to uncover?
We're looking for students that are highly motivated, both in the industry and in their personal lives. They need to be students who will take initiative. Our mentors are busy and can get too busy to set up the meetings or make a call, and we want to make sure that we have a student that's motivated enough to take that initiative if it's needed. And just a student that understands the industry well enough to have a broader view and at least be able to focus a little bit on what their career path might be.
Okay. So you at this point have, interestingly, more mentors than you have students. So who are you looking for to be involved in the mentoring process? What's your pool of candidates look like there?
Debbie, we've drawn very extensively from our RIMS chapter members and associate members and groups from around our area. That's obviously a core knowledge group that we know. We know what their experience is. We know what their personalities are. Some people may not be fortunate enough to have that kind of a pool of mentors. Like Vianna said, sometimes we have to find a match that's appropriate for a student's objective versus a given mentor's experience. And so we've drawn heavily from a known quantity group of people. If you don't have that known quantity group of people, then you may have to do some research. You may have to do some more intensive look at bios and resumes and reference checks. And in some cases, if you don't know them clearly enough, maybe even a background check. We're fortunate enough, except in two cases this year, that we had known people that we could bring into the program, some of which participated with us last year, so it made it a lot easier. But if this is a first-time experience, you need to be very careful and work very hard to make sure you get the right match, both from a knowledge basis and a personality basis.
So that's interesting. So you actually have done some background checks on folks?
We haven't done any formal background checks on our people because they're known people. I mean, they're members of, have been a member, long-term member of our RIMS chapter for a number of years. So either Vianna has known the people or Vianna has interviewed the new people coming into the program or I have known them. We require each of them to submit a bio. We spend some time making sure that they understand what the expectations and the standards and the requirements are. But since we know these people, we have not done formal background checks, nor have we done personal reference checks or previous mentoring reference checks.
Okay. All right.
And I might add, too, that this is a voluntary program on the part of the students. And so our risk management department has prepared a waiver for the students that lets the students know that we haven't done a background check and that they are responsible if they... For instance, if they need to travel to an event out of town or something, that it is a voluntary program and they are the responsible party.
So that's a good way to protect yourselves and also raise awareness of the students. But for anybody who might be listening into this podcast and thinking about establishing a program, that would be an important consideration, whether or not you wanted to do background checks if you didn't know these folks. So that's a good point to think about. In terms of the individuals who are in your pool of candidates, and I'm speaking now about the mentors, are they all risk managers, or do you have any brokers or insurance representatives or actuaries that might be part of your pool of candidates? I don't know Hal or Vianna.
Well, typically speaking, we had started out, in my own personal view, was to focus at just risk managers, and as we got into it and learned more about the students and their perspectives and went for a pool of mentors, we found that it was real critical to bring in the brokers and or the agents or the agency owners and or insurance company personnel. And this year, the second of our 2 years, we actually had two actuarial students who applied to be mentors, and so Vianna had to seek out and help us find within Aegon in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, a company that had actuaries, and find two actuaries and interview them to make sure that they were willing to step up and participate, and it's worked out very well. So we've kind of titled this more of an industry mentoring program rather than a risk management program, so it's evolved a bit over time to broaden.
Okay. Because I know from my own experience a lot of students are thinking about getting into other areas of the industry besides the risk management field, so that probably gives them a broader perspective on what the options are.
Unfortunately, in today's world, that tends to be, the brokerage world tends to be more of an entry-level position. Brokers are always looking for new marketing and sales people. Risk management positions aren't necessarily as open and frequently available.
Right.
And so there's a path many times that students have to go through to get there, and we don't want to disrespect nor ignore that.
Okay. Vianna, you have this pool of candidates, and I assume even before you select them, you give them some sort of insights into what the expectations are. Can you give us some ideas of, you know, what your expectations are of the mentors?
Oh, certainly, yes. And they're pretty extensive, I might add. We don't expect a lot of time. I sit down with them probably individually. The first year, we held a kickoff event in which we tried to talk to the mentors about the expectations. And this year, we found that it worked better for us to just sit down with them individually and give them kind of an orientation. So we talk about the time commitment, which we define as about 2 to 3 hours a month, and maybe Hal can chime in at some point and say whether that's worked out since he's one of our mentors as well. And then I fill them in on our curriculum and what the students are studying, so they have a little bit of an understanding of the background of the students. We give them the students' resumes, but we also talk about, we've put together a very extensive website that includes a lot of resources and ideas for the mentors, and so we're trying to give them more support this year than usual. The expectations are that they'll give it the time commitment, that they'll take initiative to arrange the meetings for the students. We like to talk to them about the fact that we'd like the students to receive 2 mock interviews, and we hope that the mentors will participate in the blog plan. I think one of the major things is asking the mentors to think about and plan in advance with the students. I think often adults in the profession think that they are so busy that the students need to fit into their lives, but the students have lots of projects. They often are working, and they have quite a few tests and things that they need to work around. And so we hope the mentors will plan in advance and kind of respect the students' time as well. And then at the end, we hope they'll complete the evaluations for the program. We don't ask them to evaluate the students. The interaction between the mentor and the students, in our opinion, is confidential. And unless they run into a problem and need to seek our advice, we keep that confidential.
Okay. Let me step into sort of the next phase. You have your pool. You've got your pool of students that are really interested in this process, and you have your pool of mentors who are interested in working with the students. But I suspect there's a process by which you match these folks up, because not every mentor and student would be a good match. So are there criteria that you use to sort of, you know, match people together, marry them, if you will? Is there any kind of formal process in place, or how do you go about doing that? Hal?
Yeah, the formal process, we used an informal process the first year that was kind of loose, and the second year we formalized it, and I think have had much better results. We actually do review the bios and the resumes of our mentors. We spend time getting to know the students. Each student who applies for mentorship fills out an application to be mentored, and they write an essay so that they give us a knowledge, if you will, of the background of their educational experience, their objectives, their desires, and also what they think they would like to get out of mentoring. So by the time we get done with assessing the mentors' resumes, and we get through the process of the applications, and can actually, three of us, Vianna and myself and a representative from Gamma Iota Sigma, spend an hour and interview each student. We have a pretty good handle on who the students are, what they know, where their objectives are, what they think they would like to get out of it. And then we, from our knowledge base, go back and take a look at the mentors and figure out where that best match might happen. So it's a fairly extensive process, and has become, as Vianna said, very formalized this year and has worked, I think, very well. I'm not sure that I'm aware of any mismatches that we've had in the process.
It sounds like the first year actually served as a learning to improve upon the process.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now that you've done the matching, what do you do to get the process underway? Vianna, is there like a formal process? Do you have a kickoff meeting?
Right. Well, we begin by exchanging the resumes with everyone. So the mentors have the students' resumes and the students have the mentors' resumes, and they get an idea of who the other person is. And then the first thing we do is we ask the students to make the first contact. We think that's important for the students to begin to learn to take initiative and to reach out. And then we hold a kickoff event in which we let all of the mentors and all of the students meet each other. We, I think, had a panel discussion this year on an important topic for all of them, and then we get it kicked off that way with a kickoff. And then we also offer, during that kickoff, assistance in helping to set up the first meeting. This year, no one asked for assistance. In fact, by the kickoff, many of them had already begun to communicate and were already beginning to develop their plans.
I know you have the formal process in place for the mentors to evaluate at the end of the academic year. Do you have something similar for the students so that you're getting feedback about how effective the mentoring relationship has been or how effective a particular mentor has been?
We do, as a matter of fact. The student pool has been small enough that last year, at the end of the year, I called them all in, and we had an individual meeting, and we just had an informal conversation. This year, I believe the Gamma Iota student organization and the student who is a representative on our committee will be sending out a formal evaluation, and in addition to that, I probably will visit with the students as well.
That's great. It sounds like you guys have a very, very good program in place, and one that, you know, other universities and colleges could mimic to get a mentoring process in place. It's valuable for students during the course of their studies, but really I think it sort of helps prepare students for give them an idea of how valuable the mentoring process is, because I don't think that ever has to end in your life. It can, once you get into a professional position, you need mentors in the rest of your life, and so it's so nice to be able to establish that while you're in college and understand the value of it, which it sounds like you did as well, Vianna, when you were doing your own studies.
Yes, certainly. I actually still keep in touch with one of my mentors. So we hope that that's what will happen with our students, that they will continue to keep in touch with the mentor. And it may be that this mentor will help them connect and network in other ways, and they'll find other mentors through this mentor. So we hope that it'll be a lifelong process.
Terrific. I know we're going to talk a little bit about the process itself in our next podcast, but is there anything else about the establishment of the program that you, either one of you, would like to share?
I guess one of the big pieces I found was the formalization that we created, the structure we created, and the website that Vianna created this year. And one of the real nice features of the website is there is a helpful hints area for mentoring activities, so that those who are into it for the first time don't have to struggle and think, well, what could we do? I mean, what are we supposed to do? The list is not an intended must-do list, but it's a list of suggested activities, and I think that really helps a lot of people.
Great. Anything else from you, Vianna?
I would just add that we talk a lot about the benefits to the mentors and the benefits to the students, and from the academic program perspective, there are huge benefits for us. And I think any university looking at putting this together might think about those benefits. One is just bringing more people closer to the program and closer to the organization. These are people that we're now using as speakers in classes and for Gamma Iota Sigma, and reaching out to them in other ways that very much enrich the educational experience of the students.
Yeah, so the benefits go way beyond the one-on-one relationship. That's terrific. Well, on behalf of RIMS and particularly the Student Advisory Committee, I want to thank you both for participating on this podcast and also for your passion for the mentoring process. This is something that can benefit all of us throughout our lives. So thank you both very much. In our next podcast, we're going to discuss the steps you have to take once mentors and students have been matched together. So I hope you'll join us for that podcast. Thank you.